Turn in God's Word again to Mark's Gospel chapter 2. Mark's Gospel chapter 2. And as we come to the preaching of God's truth this evening, let's once again still our hearts before the Lord and ask now for His help upon the preaching of His Word. Our Father in heaven, we just bless you tonight for our Saviour once again. We thank you we can say a wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord. We rejoice in a Saviour that is so wonderful that He takes our burden away. We thank you, O God, for that great burden that He bore. He is the burden bearer. And He's bore the burden of our sin to the cross of Calvary. And there He suffered the wrath and the judgment of God, with our sin laid upon Him. We thank you tonight that we have in Him a perfect and a wonderful and a sublime Saviour. And we pray even as we come to Your Word this evening, that Lord, Thou wouldst reveal Thyself to us. Reveal Thyself to us in Thy truth. We pray, O God, that our hearts might be encouraged in the Gospel this evening. We pray, O God, that Christ would come and speak to us and speak to us from His Word. Even as we come to look at the subject of the Sabbath day, we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst reveal Thyself to us in these things. May we know Thy grace and Thy help and Thy blessing. Give us help to preach Thy Word. Lord, we come to Thee once again in our weakness, acknowledging, O God, that without Thee we can do nothing. We think of those words that You spoke to Your own disciples, without Me ye can do nothing. And Lord, we would own that this evening ourselves. We can do nothing without Thee. Yet, Lord, we come to Thee, and we're asking for Your grace. We're asking for Your power, for help for this hour. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, one of the things which really upset His enemies, those that were against Him, those that were hostile to Him, was the fact that He had no regard for their man-made rules and traditions. Christ dismissed these people, the Jewish leaders, who were filled with their own ideas, filled with their own doctrines and with their own opinions. And they sought to bring these things into the church. They sought to bring these ideas and place them upon people's minds and place them upon people's lives. And they were really a burden upon the people, making up rules that God had not given, going their own way and doing their own thing. And Christ utterly dismissed these things. He utterly cast them aside. And of course, the Jewish leaders were really upset about this. God had given the people of Israel, through His servant Moses, His law. Israel had received the moral law, the Ten Commandments. They'd also received the ceremonial law, which was to do with how they worshipped in the temple. And then they'd also received the civil law, which related to how they were to live as a nation. God then had given laws to Israel, which covered every aspect and area of their lives. The lives of the people of Israel were to be governed by God's word, governed by God's law. And so no matter what department of their life that you consider, it was all under the word of God, all under the law of God. There was not any part of the life of Israel that did not come under the clear direction of God's word. His law was their manual to live. And if Israel by faith obeyed God's commands, then they would know and enjoy God's blessing in their lives. And that is why God gave them His law, His moral law, His civil law, His ceremonial law. It was so that these people, in obeying by faith God's law, they would know God's blessing in their lives. However, as time went by, the Jews added to God's law. They added their own doctrines. They added their own traditions. These man-made doctrines and traditions eventually took prominence. And in the end, it was these things that the Jews were more concerned with, and not with that which God had originally given. In the end, they were so much taken up with their own rules and regulations that they had set aside and set apart God's law. In Matthew 15, verse 9, Christ, speaking of the Jewish people, said, "But in vain they do worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." In vain they do worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Here were a people so conscious and so careful not to break the commandments and traditions of men. And yet, they were unconcerned with breaking the holy commandments and laws of God. The Lord Jesus then, as He came into this world, was not bound by these foolish commandments of men. Instead, He dismissed them. He had no regard for them. And He even condemned them. And this incensed His enemies. This incensed the Jewish leaders. Because their commandments, their rules that they had forged upon the people, gave them control. It gave them authority over the people. Brought the people under subjection. But as Christ dismissed them, His enemies then were greatly incensed. In this section in Mark's Gospel, that we're coming to this evening, we have one of these incidents where the Lord Jesus' life and conduct clashes with the man-made doctrines of men. It was the Sabbath day, and Christ and his disciples were going through the cornfields. We're not told why the Lord with his disciples was in the cornfields, but in all likelihood he was ministering to the people. He was out there serving the people. He was there preaching, perhaps performing miracles and attending to the needs of the people. But as they walked through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, the disciples of Christ began to pluck ears of corn and to eat the ears of corn. Now this was something which God had told Israel they were permitted to do. The people of Israel, as they walked through the cornfields, they were permitted to pluck the ears of corn and they were permitted to eat the corn. We read this in Deuteronomy 23 verse 25. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbour, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbour's standing corn. And so God had permitted the people of Israel to go into their neighbour's cornfield, or while they were walking through it, they were permitted to pluck the ears of corn and to eat it. They weren't to harvest the corn by taking a tool or a sickle and to cut it down, but as they went by, God mercifully allowed them to eat the corn. It wasn't stealing, because God had permitted it. Yet the Pharisees, as they observe the actions of the disciples, find fault in what they do. Verse 24 says, "And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" Why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? What the Pharisees accuse Christ's disciples of is breaking the Sabbath day. They were plucking the ears of corn, they were rubbing it together in their hands, and they were eating it. And according to the traditions, and according to the doctrines of the Pharisees, these traditions, these doctrines that they'd made up themselves, according to these things, the disciples of Christ were working on the Sabbath day. And so therefore they were defiling God's day. They were breaking his commandments. And that is simply what the Pharisees were saying here. Your disciples are breaking the Lord's day. They're working. They're toiling. Look what they're doing. And that's what they were saying to Christ. But as Christ responds to these carnal, critical, legalistic men, he exposes their meaningless and foolish traditions. And at the same time, he sets forth the great purpose for which the Sabbath day was given. And that is what Christ does here. As he answers his critics, as he answers these men who were trying to forge their own opinions and ideas and doctrines and traditions upon Christ and his disciples, Christ answers them by revealing how foolish they are. And also by revealing to us the true purpose for which the Sabbath day was given. And so, this evening as we think on these final verses in Mark 2, I want us to simply consider lessons from the Sabbath day. Lessons from the Sabbath day. There are important truths for us all here tonight. The Sabbath day has been given by man, or given to man by God, for the blessing and well-being of all men. It is for our blessing, it is for our welfare. It is for our happiness. God has given to us the Sabbath for this purpose. And this is something which the Savior emphasizes here. His day is a day. The Lord's day, the Sabbath day, is a day given to man for our happiness and for our blessing. The first thing we are taught here then as we think of the Sabbath day is the Sabbath day points to Christ's law. It points to Christ's law. The Sabbath day is the one day of the week which God has given a specific law in regard to. He has given a specific law in regard to the Sabbath day. No other day of the week has been given a specific law but the Sabbath day. From the very beginning of time, God has declared the Sabbath day to be a holy day. Genesis 2 and 3 says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." On Mount Sinai, as Moses received the Ten Commandments, the finger of God wrote this: "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." And so God has spoken very especially in regard to the Sabbath day. Man has been given particular directions in God's law about this day. It is to be a holy day. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. The Sabbath day, the Lord's day then, is that day every week which clearly brings into focus God's law. Because God has given particular law, specific law for this day. On the Sabbath day, the normal business of life is broken up. And we are reminded that we are creatures made in God's image. Creatures that are accountable to God. For 6 days in the week, men can give their time and attention to worldly business and to necessities in life. And that's what we do. We give our time, we give our attention, we give our energy to work life and to family life and to the affairs of this world. And we do all of the things that we do. We work and we have hobbies and we do all the things that we do. But as it comes to the Sabbath day, this day, above every day, reminds us God has a standard for our lives. A law for us to obey. For he tells us in his law that we are to keep this day holy. The Sabbath, as it comes around each week, is that weekly reminder our lives are subject to God's law. And that's what it ought to remind us of, first and foremost. We are subject to God's law. We are responsible to keep this day. It is the Lord's day. The law has said it. God in his word has directly commanded us, remember to keep this day holy. Therefore, this day points us first and foremost to God's law. To God's law. How important it is that each one of us view our lives in the light of God's holy law. This will show us our true state. It's only as we examine our lives in the light of God's law that we see our true spiritual state. If you think of the Pharisees here, what were they doing? They were examining their lives. They were evaluating their lives in the light of their own traditions, in the light of their own ways. And they thought, well, we are good, we are moral, we are righteous because we're obeying our own principles, our own rules and our own regulations. How many today do the very same? They think the very same. How many in our society think they are moral, they think they are good, because they keep their own laws, they keep their own regulations. And we see our government doing this. And it does it in the most perverse way. We even hear our government that has been recently elected, and they're talking about sodomy. And they're talking about how we will defend it. And you see, they're keeping to their own rules and principles, and they feel they're good by doing this. But how foolish man is. We only see our true state as we examine our lives in the light of God's holy law. And of course, as we examine our lives, as we hold up our lives in the light of God's law, what does it reveal to us? It reveals to us we are not good. We are not righteous. It reveals to us we are lawbreakers. We are sinners by nature and sinners by practice. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is somebody telling us we have failed to hit the mark. God's law sets the standard. It sets the mark. But we have fallen short of that mark. We haven't hit the target. That's what God's law reveals. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Again, that is reminding us of how we are lawbreakers. We not only have missed the target, missed the standard, but we have broken through the boundaries. We have done those things we ought not to have done. And you see, as we examine our life in the light of God's law, and remember the Sabbath day reminds us of God's law. It reminds us that God has given a standard for our lives. This one day in the week, it reminds us God is a holy God and our lives are to be regulated by his laws. And when we examine our lives in the light of God's holy law, it reveals to us we are undone. We have transgressed. We have broken the boundary. We have missed the mark. As Israel received the Ten Commandments, remember that time when they were at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and God came down upon the mount in all his glory and majesty. And God spoke, and he spoke to the people the Ten Commandments. And as the people of Israel gathered round the mountain and they heard God giving his law and they stood there with their families and with their children and they realized that God was holy and his law was holy and they viewed their lives in the light of God's holy law. Do you know what they said? They came to Moses and they said, Moses, do not let God speak to us, lest we die. You see, in the light of God's law, they realized they were condemned. They were undone. They were sinful. And they deserved to die. Oh, how important it is that we view our lives in the light of God's holy law. The Sabbath day is that weekly reminder of God's law. God has given a specific law in regard to this one day. And so as we come to the Sabbath day, we ought to remember first and foremost, God has a holy law for our lives. And we must view our lives in the light of that law. And so we see here, firstly, the Sabbath day points to Christ's law. But then secondly, notice with me here, the Sabbath day points to Christ's love. It also points to Christ's love. Notice what it says here in verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus now in these words speaks directly concerning the Sabbath day. And what we learn here is this. The Sabbath day has been given by God to man as a means of blessing in his life. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God, in his love and mercy, made this day, created this day, instituted this day for man's benefit and for man's happiness. It is for the good of his body and of his mind and of his soul. It is given to him as a blessing and not a burden. And we ought to think of this, or consider this as we think of the Lord's day. God has given us the Sabbath day to be a blessing, not to be a burden. Not to be a burden. We should never look upon the Lord's day as a day that is burdensome and difficult, because that is not why the Lord has given the Sabbath day. J.C. Ryle, the great Protestant bishop of Liverpool, commenting in these words, says this: the observance of the day of God was never meant to be so enforced as to be an injury to his health or to interfere with his necessary wants. The original command to keep holy the Sabbath day was not intended to be so interpreted as to do harm to his body or prevent actions of mercy to his fellow creatures. You see, the Lord made the Sabbath day that it might be a means of blessing in our lives. He made the Sabbath day because he is a God of love and a God of compassion and a God of mercy. The sad thing is we so often look upon the Sabbath day like the Pharisees looked upon it. Not as a joyful thing, but as a judicial thing. As something in which we keep rules and regulations, instead of being something in which we rejoice in the God of our salvation. We look upon it as endurance, not that which is to be enjoyed. We ought not to look upon the day in this manner. The Lord has given it to us for our happiness and for our blessing. The Pharisees were not enjoying the Sabbath. It was not a blessing to them. They were too busy making sure all their traditions were not broken. And all their traditions were met. And that is exactly what they were doing here. This is what Christ points to. Notice the illustration that he gives. He gives this illustration of how David, and we know the illustration well, or those that know it well, it is about how David went to the temple. And as he went to the temple, he was a hungry man and his men were hungry. They were starving. And he came in to see the priest. In the Old Testament, we read of how it was Ahimelech. Here it is described as the priest Abithar. And so there probably was two priests. But as David went to see the priests, he asked them, listen, have you any food? We are going to starve and we need food. And the priest said, listen, there's no bread but the showbread. It's not lawful for you to eat. And yet David and his men ate it. Because if they didn't eat it, they would have died. They would have perished. And so according to the ceremonial law, it wasn't lawful for them to do it. But God hadn't made that ceremonial law to let his people perish and die. That's the point here. God hadn't given this ceremonial law to the priest, to the Levite in the temple, so that they would hold food off the people and they would die. That's why David was permitted to eat it. And that is why the Lord gives this illustration here. He is teaching the Pharisees and teaching all people. The Sabbath day is not a day of persecution. It's not a day of keeping regulations and rules in the most judicial way. It's a day of blessing. A day of edification. A day of spiritual nourishment for your soul. And thinking of how the Sabbath day has been appointed by God as a means of blessing the life of man, we can say when this day is rightly observed, it is a means of blessing in the life of man in three particular ways. It is for the benefit of man's physical well-being. The Sabbath day is for the benefit of man's physical well-being. Man physically needs to rest. His body and mind need a break from the toil and labor of life. And so God, after creation, instituted one day in the week where man can take a break from the ordinary labors of life. The Sabbath day, in this sense, is a great reminder of God's love towards man. God knows our frame, and he knows what we have need of. And he knows that we are weak and that we need a rest. Our bodies need a rest. And so in love and mercy, he instituted this day. Because he cares for us. He cares for his creatures. Our God is not a loving, uncompassionate, uncaring God. But he's a God of great love and mercy and compassion. And this is reflected even in giving the Sabbath day to us for our physical rest and for our physical refreshment. It is interesting to note that in the midst of our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week society, there are far higher levels of stress and mental illness than previous generations have suffered. And there have been different studies and researches done trying to explain why this is the case. One man will say this and one man will say the other thing. But the answer is simple. The Sabbath day has been forsaken. And so our society, our nation, in this sense is suffering, physically suffering, because men aren't taking the rest that God has said they ought to take. People who despise the Lord's day and think, well, I can live as I please, are so foolish. For they're rejecting that which God has made for their well-being. They're rejecting that which God has made for their happiness. He is their creator. He is their maker. He knows what man has need of. Therefore, when we despise his ways, when we despise his laws, which are for our happiness, it will be to our hurt. The Sabbath day points to Christ's love because it benefits man physically. But it not only benefits man physically, it is also for man's spiritual well-being. His spiritual well-being. This is something that we need especially to keep in mind. The Sabbath day is not only a day of rest for our physical well-being, but it's also a day of worship instituted by God for our spiritual well-being. The Sabbath is primarily a day of worship, and that is why it is called the Lord's Day. Because it is a day of worship. A day to worship Him. It is so we can draw nigh to God for the well-being of our souls. It is for our spiritual health and our spiritual benefit. The focus then of the Sabbath is on tending, or ought to be on tending to the needs of our souls. And that ought to be the focus, the primary focus. On tending to our spiritual needs, on tending to the need of our souls. Those who say the Sabbath is a day of rest and then make it a day of leisure, a day for carnal and worldly pleasures, abuse this day. A day which God has given to man for his spiritual well-being. How we break the Sabbath in a most grievous way. When we do not use this day in the proper way. When we do not use it for our spiritual well-being. Such is the care which God has for our souls, for the souls of men, that he's given one whole day in every week, that man might tend to the needs of their souls, or men might tend to the needs of their souls. And that really reflects the care God has for us. He's given one whole day. One whole day every single week, that we might tend to the needs of our souls. In the judgment, every Sabbath that man has lived will be brought before him. And he will have to give an account to God for this day. This day he was given for his spiritual welfare. Think about that. Every single Sabbath that you've lived, you will have to give an account to God for. Have you used it properly? Have you used it for your spiritual welfare? God will say, I give to you one day every week so that you might attend unto the need of your soul. That's what it's for. You will have to give an account for your Sabbath days. Again, that is a very solemn and a very serious thing. The Sabbath day is for our physical well-being. It is for our spiritual well-being. Also, we see in Scripture the Sabbath day is for our eternal well-being. Our eternal well-being. The book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4 and 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The word rest here literally means Sabbath. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath to the people of God. And this is speaking about future. There remains yet a future Sabbath for the people of God. This rest, this Sabbath, which Paul speaks of in Hebrews, is referring to heaven. And that's what it speaks of. Speaking of heaven. It speaks of heaven. It testifies to us that God has a rest for his people, an eternal rest. And so the Sabbath has also been given for man's eternal well-being. It speaks of heaven. And it reminds us of how we need to prepare for heaven. That's what the Sabbath day ought to remind us of. How we need to prepare for heaven. You see, in the Scriptures, and when God was speaking to his people, particularly the Jews in the Old Testament, they knew that as every Sabbath came around, they had to make preparation for the Sabbath day. That's what they had to do. Think of the people of Israel in the wilderness. God didn't give them manna on the Lord's day. But the day before, he gave them a double portion of manna. So they had to prepare for the Lord's day. They weren't able to work. They weren't able to gather sticks. They weren't able to draw water. They weren't able to do the business of life on the Lord's day. And so the day before, they had to make preparation. And the Word of God speaks clearly of this, speaking of how the people of God had to make preparation for the Lord's day. There was also personal preparation. They had to wash their clothes. And the Bible speaks of how they had to sanctify themselves. And all of this is speaking about preparation for the Sabbath day. Preparation for the Sabbath day. Of course, in our own society, in the not too distant past, it was the norm in many homes that on Saturday they made preparation for the Sabbath day. Things were done in the home, and I'm sure you remember, if you're a bit older, the things that were done in your home. And there was this respect for the Sabbath day. And you made this preparation for the Lord's day. Well, you see, there is a spiritual truth in this. There is a spiritual truth. Because the Sabbath day points to heaven. And how important it is that we all make preparation for that great eternal Sabbath. And that is what God was teaching the people of Israel as he told them to make preparation for their Sabbath. He was reminding them that they needed to make preparation for the eternal Sabbath, for heaven itself. Of course, the preparation to enjoy the eternal Sabbath is to know Christ as your Savior. That is the preparation, the only preparation that you can make. It is to know Christ as your Savior. Christ has made provision so man can enjoy eternal rest in God's heaven. Before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he said this in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. That doesn't mean Christ went to heaven and started to build mansions in heaven. Sometimes people think that as Christ went to prepare a place for us, he was going to do something in that sense. He was going to prepare a room or prepare mansions or prepare a good palace or build heaven. Christ spoke the world into being in a moment. But when it tells us he went to prepare a place for us, he was going to the cross. He was going to shed his precious blood. He was going to die to provide for us forgiveness of sins and acceptance with God. Therefore, if we want to be prepared for our eternal Sabbath, or for the eternal Sabbath, we need to see Christ as our Savior. We need to call upon him and ask him for mercy and ask him for salvation. That is the preparation that all men need to make. The Sabbath day points to Christ's love in our lives. His care of our physical bodies. His care of our spiritual state. But it also points to his great care of our eternal state. It reminds us of his love. His great love. And that is why he says here in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. It's because Christ loves men. He loves us. Of course, we're so undeserving in our sin. Do we deserve his love? We don't, because we're lawbreakers. And yet he has manifested his love and given to us the Sabbath day. Oh, do not despise that love. Do not turn from it. But see the great mercy of God. See the great love of God even through the Sabbath day. Seek Christ. Seek him as your Savior. The Sabbath day points us to Christ's law. It points us to Christ's love. One last thing here, notice with me. The Sabbath day points to Christ's lordship. Points to Christ's lordship. Notice what it says in verse 28. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Note very carefully what Christ is saying here. He's telling us that he is Lord. He is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day is the most, in the most striking way, does remind us of Christ's lordship. Every day of the week, man should be conscious of Christ's lordship. In every single day. We should ever be conscious that it is our duty to honor him. It is our duty to fear him. It is our duty to worship him. Every single day, we ought to be conscious of that. That Christ is Lord. We are to reverence him. We are to respect him. We are to worship him. But the Sabbath day is a solemn reminder that Christ is Lord. It is that solemn reminder to us that he is Lord. The title Lord here means supreme in authority. Supreme in authority. This is what Christ was saying to the Pharisees. Therefore the Son of Man is supreme in authority also of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day points to the truth Christ is supreme. The supreme, sovereign, all authoritative one. He is then to be worshipped and feared as Lord of Lords. The Sabbath day reminds us that Christ is Lord, because it is the Lord's day. Let me ask you tonight in closing, do you worship Christ as Lord? This day is the Lord's day. It's been given that title, reminding us that he is the Lord. He's the Lord. Therefore, we are to surrender to him. We are to love him. We are to obey him. He's the Lord of hosts. The Lord of lords. The Lord of glory. Those who abuse this day, those who willfully break the Sabbath day, scorn Christ's lordship. They are in effect saying the same as wicked King Pharaoh did in Exodus 5 and 2. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And people who despise the Sabbath day, people who break the Sabbath day, they treat Christ as a nobody. They're not respecting his lordship and his authority. And of course, this is the way the vast majority of people treat the Sabbath day. They treat it as their day. Because in their sinful, selfish hearts, they put themselves above the Lord of glory. Because Christ isn't their Lord. That's what they do. The Sabbath day reminds us of Christ's lordship. But let me just say this. Those who despise Christ's lordship on earth will know nothing of the protection of his lordship in eternity. Those who despise his lordship on earth, and let me say this, people who break the Sabbath day, along with many other things, of course, as well, but we're looking at the Sabbath day this evening. Those who break the Sabbath day, who despise Christ's lordship. And that doesn't matter what you profess or what you claim about yourself. Those who despise Christ's lordship on earth will know nothing of the protection of his lordship in heaven. They will be treated as castaways. They will be treated as the enemies of Christ. As the enemies of Christ. The Lord's Day reminds us Christ is Lord. Therefore, we are to surrender to Him. Well, dear sinner, tonight, treat Him as Lord. Seek Him as a sinner. Call upon Him and ask Him to have mercy upon you. The Sabbath day reminds us or points us to Christ's law. When we see ourselves in the light of that law, we have broken it. And yet the Sabbath day reminds us of Christ's love, that He's cared for us, that He's provided for us, that He might save us. The Sabbath day reminds us of Christ's lordship. Take Him as your Lord. Take Him as your Savior. And know this very night what it is to be saved. Know this night what it is to be born again of God's Spirit and to be His child. I trust you will come to Christ tonight and you will take Him as your Lord and as your Savior. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen.